Welcome to People in Exile, where we have conversations, host interviews, discuss books, and engage with the Bible to help believers live out their faith in an unbelieving world.
Welcome to this episode of People in Exile. I am your host, Chris Chambers, and I am here with the capital T-H-E, Ben Ellis. What's up, man?
What's up, man? What's going on?
We are in the middle of the T4G online experience. We had just finished essentially session number one. We had Richard Chin preach. Then we had a panel with Ligon Duncan, Mark Dever, and Al Mohler. And then we had David Platt speaking as well. And so we just wanted to kind of download that a little bit, talk to one another about kind of what was impactful during those three things. The other thing I did want to mention is, you know, we did a recording before the event began, and one of the questions we had, is there going to be music? Because that's one of the things that we're going to miss the most, being together with 10 to 12,000, you know, other individuals just singing the praises to God. And unfortunately, there is no music. You know, I don't know exactly what that would have looked like, what that would have done. But they ultimately decided we're gonna not do that this year, and we're gonna wait until we get together to do that again. So kind of bummed a little bit about that. At the same time,
right. I will say this of all the things that I miss about being at the Yum Center and being with 12 to 15,000 other people and the music together, I will tell you what I don't miss. I don't miss those little stadium chairs.
Yes.
I like my office chair so much better. Your couch looks really comfy, Chris. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is a much more comfortable way to listen to these sessions, especially with, like, as mentally taxing as they are. It's nice to have, you know, a comfortable place to rest your rump.
Yes, yes. The other thing is, we don't, at least when we've gone, in the years past, we generally don't get there super early so we can sit on the floor or sit up close. So by the time we get in, it's pretty much filled to capacity. And so we end up sitting in the nosebleeds all the way at the top, and we try to spread out to give ourselves as much room as possible. And so not only are the chairs uncomfortable and tiny, but also we have to walk up all the way to the very top. So we avoid that. Although in this current situation we're in, where we're kind of on lockdown and all those things, that exercise probably would have been helpful for us at this point in time, because that is one of the things that we do get when we go to Louisville, is we walk all over the place.
That's right, buddy. Get in your 10,000 steps.
At least.
Dude, I think one day, I don't know, remember what day it was. It was crazy, but I ended up with 20,000 steps in the day, and I was like, what am I doing? I don't even think I'm walking that much, but 20,000 steps?
I feel like I need to just get out of the house, get out of the office, and just walk for a little bit, just to kind of get that part of the all right, so that's that. So Dever, you know, he did an intro there. It appears they did, you know, most if not all of this has been, you know, pre-recorded. They mentioned they are going to tonight, I guess, have a live some kind of a meeting, a panel, a discussion kind of on mm-hmm. the day's events. They'll do the same thing tomorrow night as well. At least that's the plan. So it is different, you know, not having everybody together, the message being preached live, but nonetheless, the content, the substance is mm-hmm. there. The spirit certainly is there as well. So anyhow, Richard Chin, I had never heard Richard Chin speak prior to, just a couple hours ago. I thought very good. Enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
It took me a minute, you know, to kind of get used to this whole concept, this whole thing, you know, online, kind of get into the flow. Generally when we're there, you know, we're in person, we're seeing everybody, they're right there. And man, you just got to get to town with the notes. And here it took me a little bit longer to get to that. But anyhow, Colossians 3 was the text that he preached on. Again, as we mentioned in the pre recording of this, he gave away the book. One of the books they gave away was his exposition of Colossians, and so that's what he preached on there. What was one thing? Yeah, captivated by Christ. That's it. Yep. What was one of the what was something that stood out with Chin?
One of the things that I absolutely loved about Chin's sermon was how he divided up the passage. into our gospel reality and the gospel imperative. And I realize that in those two broad brushstrokes, you really kind of get sort of the heading for his whole sermons. But I really loved how those two things work together and how he argued, and I think very, very coherently, very cogently, how the gospel imperatives flow out of the gospel realities. And he lists four gospel realities, and I thought it was really good because I think it very much follows the model that Paul uses just when he writes. Paul always gives you this very theological opening and then this very practical kind of ending. This is what we believe, now this is how we live. Orthodoxy, orthopraxy, right belief followed by right practice or right action.
Right.
And I think that Chin does a wonderful job doing that same kind of model by saying, look, here in this passage, Colossians 3, 1 through 4, here is our gospel reality, and then here are the gospel imperatives that come out of that, because of those realities. I think the other big thing that I absolutely loved about that is he reached all the way back to Psalm 110. And I really love it when pastors and preachers will take New Testament passages and connect them with or ground them in those Old Testament passages, just reminding us all that the Old Testament passages are not those things that were, but rather they are still informing what we find in the New Testament.
And just so that, you know, those that may be listening, maybe haven't, you know, been able to listen to or see the T4G, you know, listening to this separate from that, Colossians 3:1-4 says this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that's where he pointed back to Psalm 1. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And of course, he reached back into Colossians chapter 2. And then I think he went through about verse 17 or so of chapter 3.
Correct, yeah.
Text there. And so, you know, there's certainly more to it than that. But like you said, he gave us the gospel realities, and then he moved into the gospel imperatives, this idea of setting your mind on things that are above, or the thinking of things that are above. And that was the big takeaway for me. It's just a reminder of always keeping our minds there. It's so easy, especially now. And again, I think we can always say especially now, regardless of what season of life, regardless of what's going on in life. I think we can always say especially now, whatever it is that's going on in our life, it's easy for us to get overwhelmed with those things and get our eyes off of him and our thoughts off of him. And so our minds not set on him. So it's important for us always to be in his word, grounded in his word, rooted right in his word, so that our minds are of the things above. And again, C.S. Lewis, that quote there, I've used that in teaching in the past. Certainly love that quote. You know, those in this life who made the most impact in this life are often those who thought the most of the next. And the reason why we are less effective today is because we don't think of the next life as often as we should. Something along those lines, paraphrasing that particular quote there. But again, I love that point. I think I've actually attributed that to Spurgeon in my teaching. So apparently that's a C.S. Lewis quote. good to know. What else about Chin do you want to point out?
I think one of the other things that I thought was great about Chin, like I said, the reach back to Psalm 110 was fantastic, just because it really kind of paints this picture of who Jesus is. And he asked the question that I thought is so poignant, because Paul tells us in the passage in Colossians, the Bible tells us to set your mind on the things above. But sometimes we forget to ask the question, what does it mean to actually set your minds on the things above? And I love the way Chin really walked through what it means to think about on the things above. Well, what does that mean? And I think that's when he jumped into, tied into Psalm 110 and really painted this picture for us of Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father, how that position is a place of honor and power and kingship and sovereignty and all those things tied together, and what it means to kind of think through, you know, this is where Jesus is. And the other thing that really impressed me about that part of his teaching there was that he kept going back and asking the question, well, how does that help me today? He's, you know, he pointed out, he says, well, somebody may think about, you know, that's all well and good for thinking, you know, in the next, you know, the next life when I pass away, I'm, you know, I am glad that Jesus sits on his throne and that he is the judge and he is authoritative and all that other kind of fun stuff. But that's great for then. But now that I'm dealing with coronavirus and I don't know where my next paycheck's coming from, and that, you know, and this list of very, I don't want to belittle those questions because they're important questions for all of us. They're deeply felt questions for all of us. But how does God's position, how does Jesus in position at the right hand of the Father really address those issues? And I thought that was really good, because what he did is he came back and he encouraged us and said, hey, look, this is the reality. If where you are right now is in a position where you're asking why Jesus's position matters, that's why it matters, is mm-hmm. because we have, in whatever sense, and again, this isn't to be critical of anybody, but we've allowed our circumstances to overwhelm our perception of who Jesus is. And that's a dangerous place for us to live out. And especially as we're trying to, you know, we're, again, this is all part of the People in Exile podcast. So I want to relay it back to that idea at the same time. How do we help a culture who is looking for answers, frustrated by lockdowns, unable to procure resources, food, water, pay their electric bill, you know, the way they normally would have done that? How do they answer the question? And then how do we answer the question? If we get so bogged down by the same circumstances that everybody else does, and we don't recognize that we have a God who still is in control, who still is enthroned in heaven, who still does have effectual power in the world in which we live, that makes all the difference in the world. One leads to hopelessness, one is grounded in hope. One sees an optimistic vision of the future, the other doesn't. You know, so those are all kind of big, broad brushstrokes that I think Chin was painting at when he kind of talked through some of those issues. What about you, man? What else jumped out at you?
Yeah, so the other thing, every year, man, that I go to T4G, one of the things that always stands out is this idea of, you know, let's push ourselves, let's push our minds, let's push, you know, academically, theologically, doctrinally, let's push ourselves to go deeper, right? And, you know, Chin, right off the bat, you know, I feel like he certainly did just that. In pushing us and encouraging us to do these things, setting our minds on things that are above. You know, I was teaching not too long ago before the coronavirus, when we were actually in class together, and we're studying through Hosea right now. And you know, as we're going through there, you know, we're in the last few chapters of Hosea, and one of the individuals in the group, you know, said, you know, but like, why are we studying this, you know, his thought, his point is, you know, he wants to get to the practical kind of, all right, well, what do I do with this? How can I use this? But mm-hmm. but I think there's in a real sense, I think there is a tremendous benefit in simply studying the Word of God, right? And saying, okay, God, the Holy Spirit inspired these words, has preserved this for us in His Word all these years later, and just studying this Word to see how He has communicated with His people all the way back, all those many years ago. And still, again, the same God that we worship is the same now as He was then. So just simply looking and seeing how He related to us, I think, again, it's setting our minds on things that are above, which can just then fill us with even more confidence to do exactly what He's called us to do, you know, today. And so, you know, I think sometimes there can be that idea, that attitude that, that's for pastors, right? Or that's for teachers or whatever to do those kind of things. I don't need to do that. And I would just strongly encourage everyone, right, to do just that. Again, set your mind on things that are above. And then the next thing that happened with T4G, kind of moving forward here, was they did the panel with Ligon Duncan, with Mark Dever, and with Al Mohler, and they asked the question, you know, why are we still going on with this? Why still do this electronically? Is there anything there that kind of stood out that you wanted to mention, Ben?
I think the big thing, and this is actually ties into immediately with what you were just saying about Chin's sermon, was that, you know, why do we keep coming back to this? And one of the reasons that all three of the guys, Dever, Duncan, and Mohler, kind of all really kind of nailed out and fleshed out again and again as they were kind of talking through this question of why do we do T4G like this? And that was that one of the things that they are all encouraged by is getting together and hearing these guys preach and just being continually, consecutively, consistently challenged by the people who come and take that pulpit in front of those pastors and just really, you know, call us to think differently, call us to think better, call us to think higher, you know, and that even though the call in some cases is the same, because of what T4G is at the same, you know, in the same, by a different measure, rather, it calls us to change, to raise that bar in different levels from different aspects. Whereas Chin really kind of, you know, from that gospel imperative moment calls us to think above, to set our minds on the things above, to set our things on the things above and to set our mind on Christ and meditate, you know, that's going to be that, you know, that kickoff for this kind of thing. The theme this year for T4G is entrusted with truth. And I think that there's a lot that I hear sort of as a background to that conversation, why T4G, you know, these guys really do feel like, and I think probably the whole organization feels like they have been entrusted with this opportunity to host this conference for the purpose of edifying and growing the church by edifying and growing the pastors and lay leaders and deacons and elders who attend this thing. Who attend this conference, they really feel like they've been entrusted, they've been gifted with that. So it for them is a stewardship. And I think that's important. And I think in a lot of ways that even relates to David Platt's sermon, which we're going to talk about here in just a second, the 8 questions that he asked for pastors. But that is, if you've been entrusted with this stewardship, Ligon, Mark, Al, if you've been entrusted with this stewardship, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let a little thing like coronavirus and not being able to gather at a giant facility keep you down? Or are you going to faithfully steward what you've been given and do something with it? And I think that for me, that was really encouraging. You know, even just the precept that we're going to step, you know, as churches all over the place have gone to live streaming and they've gone to Zoom meetings for small groups or Facebook chat or Facebook Live or Google Groups or whatever, to try to continue that sense of community while at the same time encouraging and deploying the fact that these guys didn't back off, but rather stood on the pedal to keep this thing going, I think tells a lot about their perspective of the stewardship that they have in order to maintain this thing.
Yeah. The other thing when they were talking about, you know, they mentioned the fact that, you know, they really, you know, as they were getting together, trying to, you know, prayerfully considering, you know, what the messages, the plenary messages would look like. I thought it was interesting that they basically determined the text and the messages that they wanted to be preached. And then they paired the messenger, right, with those messages, which I thought was super interesting. And the other thing I think is neat, and I think God will use in a very particular way, is God knew, right, that we were not going to be person. God knew that we were going to be meeting and that there were going to be a different, more peculiar needs at this particular T4G than ever before. And, you know, I think that he will use those messages even when they didn't know, right, exactly, you know, how they would be used. You know, God certainly did. So I found that to be pretty interesting as well. And then, like you said, David Platt was the second plenary that we heard. And basically what he did, he took 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, and he just went through that text. And again, for those that you know, haven't, you know, listened to Platt's message here, let me just read that text real quick. It says this: "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And the other thing that he did, which I thought was pretty neat, was he took the biography, really, of Charles Simeon and kind of worked its way through. He gave us 8 questions that he wanted to ask pastors. And he said that he believes the text asks of pastors. In asking those questions, he then kind of fleshed out what that looked like or put flesh on what that looked like in the life of Charles Simeon. So I thought that was pretty cool. What is it that stood out to you for the Platt message?
Well, I think one of the things that Platt was good where Platt always is good. His sermon was very, very, you could see that it carried weight within his own person. You could see that it very, very much a sermon that was attempting to be transparent, even in the struggles that he faced in these eight questions that he raised. But of the eight questions, I really thought that the eighth one was probably the most powerful especially for a Western mindset, which is, does your way of pastoring your church make no sense here on earth, but total sense in light of eternity? And really what that point turned out more or less to be in many ways was really a warning against a pure pragmatism in our churches. Very much some of the questions we ask, even the way we talk about church sometimes, we have a tendency in a lot of our church corners to say things like, well, the church is a business. Well, no, actually it's not. You know, there are some functions that you have to preside over from a business perspective, but at the end of the day, the church is not a business. You know, the church, when the statement the church is a business is a pragmatic mindset. It is not in any way, shape, or form related to what the Bible is teaching us. We are to be good stewards. We are to be faithful and all of those kind of things, but it's that pragmatic mindset that is so dangerous in the life of the church, because ultimately, when you look at a pragmatic perspective, who ultimately gains from that pragmatic perspective is not God, because everybody looks at, well, that was good decision-making. That was good leadership. That was good da-da-da-da. You know, it takes the vision away from who God is in the church. And I think that's one of the reasons why, when you look at the Christian religion, and you know, you and I were talking about this just before, Chris, is that there's nothing about the Christian religion that actually makes a whole lot of pragmatic sense. Whether you look at the way Jesus came to earth, whether you look at the disciples he originally chose, there's really nothing about those situations that would really make any kind of pragmatic, even the death on the cross. Like, if you think about the death on the cross, there's no pragmatic sense in the death on the cross, but it is the solid center of the Christian faith, and it is what God had ordained as right. It is what God said we needed, and it is what he fulfilled in his own self that he might redeem us as his church. So I just thought that was an amazing point, and I think that more of us as a church need to think through that one question. Does the way we pastor make no sense here on earth, but total sense in light of eternity?
Yeah.
And I think for me, that was one of the strongest questions for the church from David Platt today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did want to mention that the T4G messages will be available online for general consumption as of May 14th. That's the goal date. So by May 14th, they'll all be available. So anybody that wants to go back and listen to the Richard Chen message, want to listen to that panel that we were just discussing, or mm-hmm. the David Platt sermon, can certainly do so. Like I mentioned, there are eight of those questions that were asked. Ben mentioned the one of them there. The other one that kind of stood out to me as well, was that, you know, are you content to care for the congregation that God mm-hmm. has entrusted to you? So not looking right out and, oh, I wish I had that congregation, or I wish I had more in my congregation. But hey, in this point in time, this is what God has entrusted to you. Shepherd them well, you know.
Absolutely.
And I would say that doesn't just go for pastors. Certainly in this context, that's what we're talking about. But I would say as a man or woman of God, with a family, with a spouse, with children, mm-hmm. that's what God sure. is to you at this point in time, and shepherd them well, right? That's what God has called you to do. If you're a single individual out there, God has entrusted your life, right, to you. Mm-hmm. And you give that life to Christ, you follow after him, and then follow him wherever he may lead. So wherever that may be, I would say certainly important. So to see the other, or to listen to the other eight questions, like I said, May 14th, those will be available, so you can check those out. Any last thoughts before we conclude this particular portion?
Well, I will just say this. One of the things that I enjoyed about 2018 when we got to go do this was to sit in that first set of sessions and to listen and to hear the sermons, and then to look back as you got to the end of the conference and go, wow, look at how amazingly that all tied together. even Kevin DeYoung's sermon on the immutability of God, how that worked together, how God orchestrated those sermons. And yeah, there was some planning involved with that too, obviously, as Moeller and Dever and Duncan have indicated in the panel discussion, why T4G. But it's good at the same time too to really hear all these messages mix together well and begin to meaningfully bind together into a theme, whether it be the intended theme or not. So that's one of the things I'm just looking forward to as we continue this process, is looking back and see how God is orchestrating all of these messages and breakout sessions and everything else we're gonna get to do together via online. I'm looking to see how all that ties together.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And tonight, obviously, there'll be some additional messages, and the thought, the plan would be that you and I will get together for at least a few minutes to kind of download that as well. So right. let me do this. Let me close in a word of prayer, man, and we'll go ahead and end this episode. Okay.
Go for it.
Lord, we do thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us, even though we're not physically sitting in Louisville, Kentucky, like we had planned, like we had thought. You ultimately had other plans for us. And Lord, we're grateful for the plans that you have given us. We're grateful for the opportunity that you have given us. And I pray that ultimately you would be glorified, over the next few days, be glorified in our lives and everything that you have called us to. And I pray that we certainly step into those things. Pray that you would, wherever it is you have entrusted us, Lord, that we would seek the welfare of that city, seek the welfare of the people you put in front of us. And ultimately, Lord, we set our things on things that are above, as opposed to being overwhelmed with the things that are right in front of us. So Lord, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ben. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Thank you, sir.
As always, thank you for listening to People in Exile. For more information, visit the website, peopleinexile.com, and make sure to follow us on Facebook. Until next time, keep praying and seeking the welfare of your city.